A very warm welcome to Salford City Radio, Rebecca Long Bailey, Member of Parliament for Salford and Eccles. Really good of you to make the time today to talk to us, Rebecca.
Oh, it's lovely to be on. Thanks, Ian.
Now, in what way would you like to see September's conference season signpost manifestos for the up and coming general election?
I think it's really important. I understand that there's a hesitancy, some stalling detail when you don't really know when the next general election is going to be. But I suspect it's going to be very soon, and people are really struggling and suffering at the minute, particularly across Salford and Eccles. And they want to see, particularly from the Labour Party, they want to see a future government setting out its vision for the country and showing in detail the policies that it's going to use to improve people's lives. And one group, as we know, that has been affected by austerity, COVID-19 and a whole raft of government policies are women. They were disproportionately affected by cuts, particularly to local government. And in Salford, as we know, our local government has seen its budget cut by 50%, which is absolutely staggering. So we need to see some promises, really, from government that local services and public services are going to receive more investment. But importantly, that the policies that the current government have in place and the action that they've taken so far to, well, demonstrably not support women is going to be rectified. And that means dealing with huge issues like the issue of the 1950s women who are suffering at the moment. Many have been made destitute by decisions that were made by the government to reduce the pension age without actually telling them about it.
Thank you, Rebecca. Now, would you agree that women at decision tables influencing policies about their lives is vital for their social economic health and that of the populace and our democracy?
That's really important, and it's not happening at the moment. When you look at any budget that's happened in the last few years, we talk about equality impact assessments, but there haven't been any meaningful equality impact assessments that actually examine the government's policies on women. And staggering reports have been carried out by a whole raft of economists. There was a group that did one recently, the Women's Budget Group, in partnership with the Runnymede Trust, that found that austerity had hit particular groups of women harder, including Black and minority ethnic women, disabled women and lone parents. And this was exacerbated by COVID-19. But we don't see any of that detail being addressed by government. In fact, the policies that they're putting forward are making the situation worse. I think another key example of women who haven't been involved in decision making at all are the 1950s women that I spoke about before. They haven't been engaged with to any extent about the policies that were inflicted upon them without their knowledge. As you will probably know, many of these women who were born in the 1950s, they retired at 60 in the belief that they'd think that they'd get their full state pension, only to realise that the government had increased the retirement age by 5 years without telling them at all. Many women were left destitute. Some actually even lost their homes. And that's absolutely staggering. And even since then, and this was down to the brilliant work of campaigners, when the government was aware of the situation, they still did very little. And it was only the action of campaigners that really pushed the issue to the fore, to where it is today, in a situation where the Parliamentary Ombudsman is now carrying out a review into the situation to assess how women have been affected and what levels of compensation should be paid. But it shouldn't have come to that. And I think even after that, I doubt that the Ombudsman will provide any detail to the government in terms of what they should do next. It'll be up to the government then, really, to engage with women after this. I think we'll need to see more campaigning and these women actually being brought to the negotiating table so that they receive the full compensation that they deserve after the years of hardship that they've suffered.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. Now, I've got a couple of quotations to read out here. Maria Caulfield tabled a question in Parliament some time ago. She said, if 50s women are successful in appealing the court ruling, will the government abide by that judgment and compensate them accordingly? Now, that was answered by the former Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, the Right Honourable Guy Opperman. And he made the undertaking. He said, I can assure my honourable friend that this government will abide by any court decision and follow the law. So following on from that, you called earlier for the Labour Party leader to honour the party's 2019 Debt of Honour to 1950s Women?
Yeah, no, it's really important. And I think I've asked similar questions in Parliament and received, warm, fluffy responses, but we don't really want warm, fluffy responses. We want to see direct action from the government. And in terms of legal rulings, of course, legal rulings must be honoured by the government. But I think beyond this, I think there's a moral obligation on the government to recompense these women who have suffered so much. Essentially, the government broke a contract with these women. They worked all of their lives. They were what you can describe as the Made in Dagenham generation. They began working in an era when it was legal to pay women less than men. They're the ones who fought against that outrage in the 1960s and 70s. They fought against sexism. They trailblazed careers in industries where few women had stepped before. And they made it possible for women like me to believe that we could be whatever we wanted to be. And they gave me a strength to demand equal pay and respect in my career and in my life. And they're being denigrated now at a time when they need to be supported and when they should be able to enjoy the fruits of their labour for everything that they've done for the country. So the role that these women have played in our country's history was significant. And instead of applause and recognition, the government's burying its head in the sand about what's happened. But it's clear the Department for Work and Pensions was found by the Ombudsman to have imposed maladministration on the process when it determined that these women should be paid their state pension later than they thought they were going to be. And that's not right. So the government has to address that. And they have to provide compensation. They have to involve women in that provision of compensation. And that hasn't happened so far. So yes, they should observe legal rulings. Of course they should. And the Labour Party, if they're in government, should do exactly the same thing. But they shouldn't wait until that has to happen. It should be happening now.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. Now, given that UK and international laws are now proven to be on the side of victims, will both Labour and the government adhere to these statutory obligations?
I hope so. And that's certainly something that I'll be campaigning for within the Labour Party. I think if it's a statutory obligation, whichever government is in power, there'll be no ability for them to change that or avoid it in any way. But as I said, I don't think it should have to come to statutory obligations here. There's a moral issue that the women were treated very, very badly, and it shouldn't have taken amazing campaigners right across the country. And I'd just give a particular shout out to my friend Judith and the Salford Waspy campaign, who've been campaigning hard in Salford alone to raise issues, you know, make people aware of this. It shouldn't take them campaigning tirelessly for the government to take action. These women were wronged, that's clear, and they need to receive the compensation that they deserve.
And finally, the future. How do you see the future of women, Rebecca?
I think when it comes to women, I think we've got to recognise how women have been disproportionately affected by financial decisions, certainly in the last 12 to 13 years under this government and austerity, but even before that. And that requires us not just to increase funding for public services that women are disproportionately more likely to rely upon, or women who are at home, who are caring for loved ones, that tends to fall on their shoulders the majority of the time. But we've also got to look at the way our economy is structured overall, and how for many years, certainly the last 40 years, we've seen inequality rise. Really look at how we can restructure things. And that means looking at funding public services properly. It means looking at changing the way that parts of our economy are structured, such as companies themselves, for example, so that workers have more of a say in how those companies are run and how much employees are actually paid, so that we can make sure that women are really being paid what they deserve. At the moment, you know, doing a bit of a report every year on gender pay caps, which only really applies to bigger companies, isn't good enough, and it doesn't really show you the true picture. We need to see really detailed action here. And then beyond that, of course, we need to see an industrial strategy that sees women really at the heart of that. So we're not just talking about particular sectors and particular jobs, but we're actually understanding how women play a role in that and how we can encourage women into different areas that ordinarily they might have felt barred from entering.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. And a big thank you there to John Welsh for providing all the questions today. I don't know if it's something that usually happens, Rebecca, but I'd like to thank you for all the hard work that you do for the residents of Salford and Eccles.
Oh, thanks, Ian. That's really nice. That's my job, though. That's what I love doing.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. And, thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been really good.